Five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, director of content for workinsports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. What a weekend. Notre Dame wins the Women's National Championship. Baseball is finally here. ESPN launched a new morning show, and Sister Jean got ousted from the tournament. Good times. This also means today is the final day of our Job Madness promo. Get 2 weeks full membership at workinsports.com for just $5. Yep, $5. All you have to do is tell me you're interested, and I'll send you a personal promo code. You can contact me at podcast@workinsports.com or through my LinkedIn profile or through our private Facebook group or by smoke signals. I'm very available. You can contact me in a myriad of ways. It also means our bracket challenge is near a close. For those of you that didn't enter this year, simple premise, beat my bracket, get a free month at workinsports.com. Going into the final game tonight, I'm in 105th place, which means 104 people are destined to get a free month at Workin' Sports. But I have Villanova winning it all, so I could jump ahead of many people. Most important to me is that I beat Kelsey Smith, one of the members of our private Facebook group, who is currently in 71st place, but she has Duke winning, and they will not. Therefore, I am poised to win ahead of Kelsey, who refers to herself as the GOAT. Looks like, from looking at the board a little bit here, if Villanova wins, it's DIEMS 37, D-I-E-M-S 37, that is going to win the overall tournament. And if Michigan wins, it's King Luca III. One of them will get a $100 gift card, so stay tuned for that. Quick side note. So on Wednesday, I was driving down to the Philadelphia airport, because I live outside of Philadelphia, and I was picking up my mother-in-law, a detail that doesn't really matter, but we're stuck in crazy traffic, and all of a sudden, there's like crazy motorcade sirens everywhere. You can hear like sirens coming up behind you, and you're thinking, oh man, there must be a accident ahead, that's why they're doing all this, but the left lane starts to get cleared out. Everyone's mad and honking, screaming, getting mad. Then boom, this huge bus passes by with like five cop motorcycles in the front, five cop motorcycles in the back, and it's Villanova. They are heading to the airport for their probably chartered flight to get to San Antonio. Huge police escort. So immediately everybody goes from being mad to kind of cheering, honking their horns, waving at them. And it just goes to show the only thing that can overcome road rage is sports. Just saying. All right. Today's question comes from Nathan in New York. Hi, Brian. I have a job interview in a week with a company I'm very excited to work for, but I'm pretty nervous for two main reasons. One, they told me I'd be facing an interview panel, which sounds intimidating and I've never done before. And two, in my last interview, I was asked to describe two of my strengths and two of my weaknesses, and I feel like I bombed that question. I could feel the interviewer's disappointment in my answer. Can you help me with the panel idea and how to handle that question? I love the way you put that, Nathan. You could feel their disappointment. It's so true. I've been there before when you answer a question and immediately sense a drop in the temperature in the room or the subtle body language change from the interviewer. It's an awful feeling when you realize you've missed the mark, and we've all been there. So let's talk about that question because it comes up in every single interview. They're always going to ask you to explain two of your weaknesses or whatever it is. But first, let's handle the panel technique, which is also very common and something people don't plan enough for. Now, let's state this first. The reason employers do panel interviews is to see how you handle pressure. That's it. That's the purpose. Can you handle multiple people asking a myriad of questions with a confusing array of thoughts in your head and still remain calm, sound intelligent, and exude confidence? I personally began doing panel interviews when I was a news director at Fox Sports Northwest because the jobs I was hiring for required people who could react and respond under pressure. Before you imagine a Law and Order style interrogation taking place, that's not exactly what we're talking about. That's not what a panel interview is. What we're talking about is about 10 people in a room asking interview questions. There is no bright light. There's no threat of prison time. there's an innate pressure that's there just by the nature of the environment. And now that you know why they're done, they're trying to test your ability to handle pressure. Now you know that going in, and you know your objective is to remain as calm as you can. And there are three techniques I'd like to give you to really nail a panel interview. When people did this, when I was doing a panel interview, I knew they were calm and confident and really knew their stuff. This was what I was looking for. So the first thing is to handle this environment like a series of one-on-one interviews. So if you go into a panel interview focused on the amount of people there and how intimidating that feels, you've already begun to lose. Whether there's one person or 20, it's still just one question at a time coming out of one mouth with one answer. So if person number one asks you, tell us about the biggest mistake you've made in your career and how you rebounded from it. Okay, so side note, that's always my opening question. My first question I ask in every interview, tell us about the biggest mistake you've made in your career and how you rebounded from it, because it immediately puts someone on their heels if they aren't supremely confident. I wanted confident people. I wanted somebody that could admit their mistakes and then say how they responded from it and solve the problem. That's what I was looking for. And that was always my first question. But anyway, getting back to the point. Your job when somebody asks that question is to look at that one person, make strong eye contact, and answer as if they are the only person in the room. They ask the question, they deserve your attention. This isn't public speaking where you want to address the crowd. This is a series of personal one-on-one interviews. You want to repeat this technique for every question, but there's also a bit of a caveat here, okay? My second point, you still want to acknowledge the panel. So a little bit of acting has to take place too. All right, so now let's envision this. You've been asked a question. You address that person directly with strong eye contact and an authoritative answer. As you start to feel like your answer is winding down, that you're almost done making your point, that's when you break eye contact and you sweep the rest of the panel with your final few sentences. You kind of look across, make eye contact with a couple different people. So you've focused intently on the person asking the question, making them feel important and connected with. But by finishing your answer while looking towards the rest of the panel, you've started the transition to the next question and kept them in the flow. It's a simple technique to signify the end of your answer and still engage with the rest of the panel. So let's go through this again. You get asked a question by panelist number one. You're looking directly at them. You're making eye contact. You're giving them your attention. You're answering their question. But as you feel like you're reaching the end, you start to scan across to the other members. Start to make eye contact with additional people. Start to address them as well. So that you made your strong eye contact start with the person asking the question, but you also at the end started to engage with the other members of the panel. Really, really powerful technique and shows a great deal of confidence. Now, what's one other technique and one other thing you need to keep in mind? It's the biggest pitfall I see people make. They try to remember and recall every person's name on the panel. Don't try too hard to remember every person's name and address them directly, unless you have a memory like Will Hunting. Good Will Hunting? Is that too old of a memory? Remembered all his sisters and brothers' names? 13? All right, maybe I'm too old. If you can't remember everyone's name on the panel, then by only remembering a few, you make the others feel less important. Like if for one reason you see this person, you're like, oh, his name's Bob. He looks like a Bob. I can remember that one. Well, if you address him by Bob every time, but the person next to him you never address by name, that makes them feel less important. You're better off not remembering anybody's than only remembering a few. Because the pitfalls for failure are greater than the potential success. What if you call somebody by the wrong name? What if you pronounce their name wrong? What if you spend brain power remembering names instead of the thoughtful answers to the question asked? Remove names from the mental equation and just answer the questions based on the best of your ability. In all the panel interviews I have done, I've never convened afterwards with the group and heard a panelist say, I thought it was really great they remembered our names. What I have heard is things like, it was pretty awkward when they called me Shirley. So the final thought on panel interviews, they're a better opportunity than you think. Instead of being intimidated, think of it as a chance to impress many people at once. So think of this. I've gone to interviews before that have been an entire day long, and you go from the CEO to the CFO to the CMO to the VP to the person who's going to manage you to then your staff. And you basically are being answered the same question five different times in five different environments to five different audiences. Rather than that, sometimes getting it all out there and being able to answer the question once really well to a whole group of people, it can be a really effective manner of being efficient and getting a good opportunity to share your best. So think of the panel interview as an opportunity, not a fear. So let's transition now. We want to get to that biggest weakness question because that is an important one. Okay. Every interviewer asks this question, tell me about your biggest weaknesses. Why do they ask it? Well, it's a hard line to walk, and they want to see how graceful you can handle it. You don't want to be too cocky or cliche or avoid the question, but you also don't want to present any red flags that make them think you're not good enough for this job, and they want to see how you can walk that line. The strengths part is easy. I think you should about know by now not to focus on non-cliche answers. You don't want to rely on the I work really hard or I'm a team player or I love sports type of answers. Have answers that connect directly to the requirements of the job. If it's a sales job, tell them how you approach sales and your experience in sales, your positive results, and why that will be a benefit to the organization. Every job has requirements. Your strengths should sell here. Your strengths you sell here should be a reflection of their needs. So now for that weakness question. So they're looking for your ability to self-assess with some level of maturity. What you don't want to do is present a red flag, a big question mark on your ability to do the job they need. And you also don't want to come off as arrogant, like you have no flaws, because I've heard that one a lot. Like, I can't think of any weaknesses. BS, of course you have some. So be ready to straddle that line, which isn't always easy. Here's what I think is the most effective idea. Talk about a weakness that isn't necessarily related to this job. So for example, if you were interviewing for a sports analyst position, you may say, I'm not overly strong at public speaking. I can do it, but it's not exactly an area I thrive. You're being honest, but this isn't something that will hurt you in this particular role. If it's for a job in content creation, maybe you say, I'm not all that adept at selling. I can craft promotions and I'm confident in my copywriting, but to be on a sales call isn't really my forte. Again, you're expressing an honest weakness that won't hurt you in this job. So the second idea is mention skills you have or are improving. So the angle here is to take a weakness and show how you're working on improving it. For example, after graduating college, I really struggled with my public speaking skills, so I took a course and have attempted to make this weakness into an area of improvement. See how you spin it? Kellyanne Conway couldn't do that any better. Now that question will be easy to handle because you can prepare in advance. You know it's coming. Every time you're going to be asked this question, what are your biggest weaknesses? So look through the job description, okay? Figure out what is actually required for this job and then think about your weaknesses that don't necessarily relate. It sounds like you're playing a bit of a game, but you are, and you are. I mean, you're trying to be as honest as you can without giving away like, oh, I don't think I'd be very good at this job. No, give them a weakness. Give them exactly what they want. But give them a weakness that isn't going to give them a red flag that you aren't ready for this job. You know, if it's a job in broadcasting and you're not great at selling, they're not going to be like, all right, this person isn't great for the job. But if it's a job in selling and you say you're not very good at talking to people, then they're going to not include you. You're right. You have to be a little bit strategic about this. And I think that's an easy way of handling it. And even better, if you can come up with some things that maybe were weaknesses, but you've put a lot of work into and you can demonstrate that, that kind of, I took a class or I took a, joined a club to help me with my public speaking, whatever it is that you've done to improve something that was an area of weakness, I think shows that you've got a lot of maturity and you're willing to take that extra step and that extra level. So be honest, be open about that. Handle these panel interviews like it's an opportunity rather than a fear factor. And Nathan, I think you'll be doing a really great job in the next stages of your career. I think you'll nail it this time. If you have any questions you want us to handle on an upcoming or want me to handle on an upcoming podcast, email me podcast@workinsports.com, message me on LinkedIn, hit me up on our private Facebook group. I love answering your questions. I've got a lot of, if you're new to the podcast, I've been in the sports industry for over 20 years. I've been a sports news director for Fox Sports Northwest. I've been a TV producer at CNN Sports Illustrated. I've done a lot in the sports industry. I've been the director of content at Work in Sports for the last 5 or 6 years. I've spoken in college classes. I've been out there a lot in my career. I know what what employers are looking for and what they expect out of these situations. I've done a lot of interviewing and a lot of hiring. So hit me up, ask me questions. I'm here to help. I'm here to answer. And we built this really cool community on our private Facebook group. Come on in, answer a few questions, search for the Work in Sports podcast on Facebook, join in the fun there and get in that conversation and ask more questions of that entire group. And you're just going to learn, you're going to get smarter, and you're going to be more comfortable the next time you're in any of these environments. So thanks for being here. Review us, you know, share a review, tell the world what you're thinking about this show. If you like it, share it with a friend who's also interested in the sports industry. Help us grow this thing. If you like the content and the effort I'm putting in here, help me make it bigger. That's all I ask. I don't think it's too much. Until then, I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday for our next podcast, and I will just see y'all later.